Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, 811 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay, and joining me now is a good friend who was also in Leadership Pensacola with me. Best class ever. Most successful class ever, I think, is what we say now. Brett Aldridge, the president of Baptist Hospital. Brett, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Good to be with you again.
Great.
Seems like we're talking on a regular basis these days.
Well, it's almost like we have a big event happening, you know? <It's>,
Absolutely.
Okay. So Saturday is the big move day. I'm going to just open the floor for you. What do people need to know about what is going to happen on Saturday? Because this is a big production.
It is. You know, we've talked about it before, but years and years of planning have gone into this production. You know, we have been working diligently, planning every step along the way. So here are some of the key points that people need to know. The first is that the emergency department at our legacy campus on Ian Marino will close at 3 a.m. So we will no longer have an open emergency department beginning at 3 a.m. that Saturday morning. Now, at 3 a.m. in 1 second, we will open the emergency department and trauma center at our new hospital on Brent Lane. So I think that's really important for people to know. If you have a medical emergency and it is 3 a.m., go to the new hospital and we will take care of you there. Now, around 5 a.m. is when we expect to start moving our first patient. So around that time frame, what you'll see is ambulances moving throughout the city with police escorts, ensuring that the traffic is clear and so that they can be safe and efficient in moving patients. But that's what you can expect to see. And then sometime that evening, we plan to be finished somewhere between 5 and 8 p.m., just depending upon the number of patients that we see. It could go a little longer, could go a little shorter, but that's okay. Really, the numbers are irrelevant. We'll make sure that we have a safe and efficient move. So 3 a.m. ED closure, 5 a.m. beginning, and then sometime that evening, we should be all clear. So those are the kind of the key timelines and points.
And I know how people think, because I think the same way, which is, well, what if somebody's, you know, they get shot and they're going to the Baptist emergency room and they get there at 3:10, you know, how are they going to know? Or you've got an ambulance. I assume ambulances are actually easier to solve because dispatch will tell them where to go. But what's going to happen at the current campus if somebody shows up, or even the next day, you know, on Sunday? Because as we well know, despite the best efforts to get good information out across the community, not every single person is listening to me this morning or watching Channel 3 or reading the paper or has seen, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people who will not know this has happened until they find out that you're not there anymore.
Sure. So multiple steps there just to ensure the safety of the community. So the first is signage. We'll be placing signage around our campus and articulating to people, this emergency department is closed. You can go to the Brent Lane location with that address there. So that's step one. Step two is obviously if there's a significant emergency, we will have an ambulance placed at the campus for a period of time during the move to ensure if we start seeing walk-ups or drive-ups, that type of thing, we'll make sure to take care of those patients. And get them where they need to go. That ambulance will be able to transport them to the new emergency department. So multiple layers of how we've thought about this. Obviously, during the course of the move, we'll still have medical staff on site within the hospital until the very last patient has been moved. So we'll continue to provide for both the patients inside the hospital and those that don't get the message and show up, but there will be signage, there will be public announcements on radio and on TV throughout that day and the days leading up. So we've really done everything we can to make sure that, one, people are aware, and two, if there is some instance where care is needed, we've got a plan for that as well.
So there's basically going to be a kind of a small-scale provisional emergency staff there for, as you said, some period of time, which I have to assume is maybe in the day's duration, like a couple of days or longer, but you know, you tell me if I'm wrong, and then an ambulance so that if something shows up there, you can, you know, make sure to get them over to the new hospital. Is that right?
Well, it's not days because
oh, okay.
per the state, you cannot operate two emergency trauma centers at the same time. You have to operate just one. We'll have an ambulance station there for anybody who walks up. All ambulances and EMS, so really major emergencies, will know, and Chief Dorsell and Lifeguard and everybody's aware to go to the new campus. So that's how that will work.
Very good. We're talking to Brett Aldridge. He is the president of Baptist Hospital. Hang on for just a second, Brett. Let's get traffic on the fives from Candy.
All right. And it looks like some of the stuff has cleared up. 29 and 9.5 mile, it is still blocked southbound, but not as far back. It looks like they are cleaning that up. Pine Forest and 297A has been cleared up, so you should be able to get through there, no problem. And traffic flowing smoothly in Jay. It's harvest season in the area, so if you're traveling in the north parts of Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, please be on the lookout for farm equipment moving up and down the roads. Be prepared for delays and eat more peanuts. We got that from Ryan Jenkins.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah, if you have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Brett Aldridge, the president of Baptist Hospital. Brett, we have you and I have talked, and other people, we've talked extensively about moving the patients, and that's going to be a very significant undertaking. But you have already been reducing census so that there are fewer people to transport, which makes obvious sense. We've also, you know, there's been stories about moving staff, and you guys have talked about, you know, getting people accustomed to the new facility, training, tabletop exercises for the changeover. There is one part of this that I heard from somebody that kind of gave me just a, hey, I wonder how this is going to work. I was told that there are something on the order of 22,000 pieces of equipment that are involved in this changeover, whether it's operating tables or x-ray machines or, God, I don't even know what things to say, but all the stuff that is the equipment for the hospital. What's the plan for moving all of that?
Yeah, so that has been an ongoing exercise. We have been actively working through that. So first, let's start with equipment at a global level. So almost 95% of the equipment that will be on this new campus is net new equipment.
Oh, okay.
So all of the major pieces of equipment, MRI, CT, operating tables, OR booms, all of that kind of stuff is new, which leaves about another 5%, which is the, you know, the remaining pieces of equipment like vital sign machines and scales and those types of things that we have been working to move over, really starting this week, and we'll really pick up an intensity over today and then tomorrow and then Friday, preparing for our Saturday opening. So in total, yes, it's probably even more than 22,000 pieces of equipment in total, but we're not moving that many pieces of equipment because 95% of that equipment is new in the new campus.
Okay, so it's not 63 men in a truck on Saturday.
No, it is a robust process that's involved, and you know it's actually kind of cool. We've had packing and tagging seminars for our team. Each department has a checklist of the equipment that's needed to move, any special requirements for that commitment. We're partnered with a company that this is all they do is move hospitals
and
move healthcare equipment.
Get the experts, yeah.
It's a very specialized process.
Yeah, that's funny. I just always think of the times I've moved is there's always stuff in the wrong place, in the wrong box. The boxes don't get opened and et cetera. You know, all the things that go with moving. Hey, different question for you, just because it's the thing that, you know, I find myself passionate about. I love the city center concept. I love what you've done with those Civil War era oaks that are right in the center of campus when you drive in. But the ones that I always really loved were the ones that were closer to the old church, the ones that, according to John Porter, are more like Revolutionary War era, 300 years old, the ones on the west side of campus, even on the west side of the new medical building that's going up. Do you guys have a plan for those? I know you're keeping them, and they're gorgeous and huge, but do you have a plan for a second like city center over on that side of campus?
Yeah, so the Henderson Health Center, as it completes its construction, landscaping is obviously a key component of that, which to really make the campus cohesive altogether. So there will be landscaping similar to what you see in the town square. It might not be as robust in terms of walking paths and fountains and those types of things, but it is going to be a fantastic area that is similar to the town square for patients and their families to be able to spend time in. So they'll really come together as part of a cohesive landscape across this whole kind of city square, town square, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and it's one of the things I think that it's not been talked too much about as an odd, interesting benefit of what you guys are doing is those trees and that kind of park space that's always been there, but private land, really, you know, you can, except for the church, you can kind of walk around. I don't think most people really ever used it for anything, and it's amazing. And now we'll be able to use it, so to speak, because you can go park, you know, and walk over and kind of, you know, walk around if you want to. One thing, and this maybe this is a detail-y, but the question lingers in my head. early on in this conversation, there was some concern that particularly 18-wheeler access, but even maybe, fire trucks or, EMS, that there would be some access issues because getting off of Brent Lane on the bypass roads and then coming in the west side, that there was not adequate space on the lanes and that extra turnouts would have to be constructed. Did that all get solved? Is that not an issue because people are going to be coming in the front door? What's the status there?
Yeah, that all got resolved. I think that was more speculation than okay. reality. We've worked very closely with FDOT and civil engineers and others to make sure that we have a fully accessible campus to not just patients and families and visitors, our team members, ambulances, fire safety, everybody. And of course, when you're going through the process of opening and licensing a hospital, the state, the fire department, the city are all involved in those inspections. And we've had the fire trucks here recently, making sure, doing final checks to get our certificate of occupancy. And there's very easy ingress and egress. Good. There's a whole plan that they know how to access the campus. So no issues there at all.
Very good. And if, for people who aren't familiar with the area or recently, both Rawson Lane and the PCC entrance are both going to be active alternatives for kind of the east or the west way to get into campus, right?
That's correct. Yeah, right. Both of those.
So pay attention, drivers, because the light pattern may be a little bit different than you've seen recently. Well, there's all kinds of stuff. I'm so glad you were able to share with us some of this today, and I know it's been a massive thing. By my count, you have 66 hours and 40 minutes left until 3 a.m. I assume you guys are into the hours and minutes countdown until the 3 a.m. changeover. Anything that I failed to ask that you want to make sure and let the community know before we let you go, Brent?
No, Andrew, I think we covered it. I think what we talked about, really understanding that emergency department at the old campus will close at 3 a.m. and then we'll open at the new campus. I think that's the important thing. And then obviously the day of the move, you're going to see ambulances moving back and forth between campuses along with that police escort. So that's to be expected. And we just couldn't be more excited about what this opportunity and what this campus means for healthcare delivery in our community. We were founded locally here 73 years ago. And we know that this campus will serve our community for another 73 years and longer. So we couldn't be more excited about it.
And that was actually something I had I'd meant to ask you. I guess I should have known. I'm sure many people do know this. But Baptist is an extremely unique thing because, HCA, okay, they are a network of healthcare providers. Ascension is a network of healthcare providers. Baptist Healthcare is a standalone, locally owned everything. There's not some other agency out of the state that, or even in the state, that organizes you. You are locally owned. You are locally overseen by a board of directors, volunteers, and everything is here in the community, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, that's what's really special about Baptist is we were born out of this community. Members of Pensacola in the 1940s said, we want better health care in our community, and they founded Baptist Healthcare here locally. We've carried on that vision of our founders for all these years. And you're right. I mean, there is no, conglomerate national headquarters. There's no shareholders that we're beholden to. We're partners with our community and have been for this time, which means that the support jobs, right? So senior leadership roles that typically would have a fewer number at other health systems that are part of a national chain are here in our community. They live here. They work here. Their kids go to school here. Accounting functions, marketing functions, all those jobs are right here in our community. And it's such a cool part of, healthcare delivery. We believe healthcare delivery should be local. We've been entrenched in that through our entire history and will continue to be entrenched in that for the future. And what's exciting about it is this new campus brings the best state-of-the-art national, worldwide best healthcare here to our community in a local environment where we're locally led by board members who live and grew up and have family in our community. And many of our senior leaders do too as well. And we think that's very special.
No, it is. I mean, in radio, we are locally owned by two people who own the four station cluster. And that's just weird in radio. Typically you're owned by some national, group of radio stations. And so I appreciate that. And I recognize that. I think it's really a cool thing about Baptist. Brett Aldridge, the president of Baptist Hospital, as always, Brett, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you're doing. We'll look forward to a seamless change on Saturday morning. Fingers crossed and prayers in.
Thank you, Andrew. And appreciated talking with you and, look forward to talking after we move in.
Absolutely. 825 here on News Radio 92.3. Spent a long time with Brett. Let's go to traffic before we go to the break. Candy?
Okay. Taking a look, it looks like it's a little backed up both north and southbound between Pine Forest and the interstate, but not showing an accident. Just slow in that area. And still slow southbound after that accident at 9.5 and 29. And it is backed up at just to West Roberts Road. It was backed up to Kingsfield a little earlier. So it looks like it's moving just very, very, very slow. If you see an accident or a slowdown, 437-1620, text it in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you've got a hardware need, Pensacola Hardware. If you've got a hardware question, Pensacola Hardware. If you've got a house to build, Pensacola Hardware. If you've got remodeling, you got, I mean, you know, seriously, like, they are the place. They have it all. They don't have to order. They will have it in stock for you. If they don't have it, you don't need it. You think you need it, they don't have it, it's not them that's wrong. No, but I say that as a way of use their expertise. They've been doing this since 1851. They know. They know the history. They know the current. They know how to fix it. They know how to guide you. They're way better than a YouTube video. Let me trust you. Trust me about that. So if you have a hardware need of any kind, whether it's from building a house, you know, entirely or a business or just working on a repair job, Pensacola Hardware right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Work, kids, finances. Your life has lots of moving parts. Let Gulf Winds help you keep them all moving forward. Our free digital banking tools make it easy for busy bill payers to manage the day-to-day. Our simple applications and low loan rates get mommy chauffeurs on the road fast. And our free accounts and low fees put extra cash in pockets so weekend warriors can have a splash more fun. We're here for you and everyone living life to the fullest. How can we move you forward? See all the ways at GoGulfWinds.com. Federally insured by NCUA.
The I-10 Wire Summit returns October 18th to Pensacola Beach. The Southeast Premier Cybersecurity Conference is your opportunity to get connected on the Gulf Coast. This year includes AFSEA TechNet Cyber Coast Track, a $100,000 prize pitch competition, and a concert by the Molly Ringwalds at Casino Beach Bar. Special pricing is available for college students and government employees. Go to i10wire.com for tickets and event information.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
I don't know what your issue is. I do know what your issue is with Princess Bride, but okay, we'll leave it at that. David Wayne is in the news from this morning with our headlines. David, hypnotize me, brother.
Federal Reserve policymakers expected to leave interest rates at current levels. They'll be releasing their quarterly update today. Fed watchers see the rate staying at the current range of 5.25% to 5.5%. Tennis legend Billie Jean King might be the first female athlete to get the congressional gold medal. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is among a group of lawmakers that are introducing a bill in the Senate to give her that honor. It would be in recognition of her leadership advancing equal rights for women in athletics and education.
Very good. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. He'll have, pardon me, local news coming up next right after Fox. If you have a plumbing need of any kind, a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall when you flush the toilet, the pressure, the temperature, whatever, Barberry Plumbing, flat rate pricing by the job, not by the hour. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Attorney General Merrick Garland's about to appear before the House Judiciary Committee, accused by Republicans of protecting President Biden and his son Hunter.
His opening statement reads, quote, "There is not one set of laws for the powerful and another for the powerless, one for the rich, another for the poor, one for Democrats, another for Republicans, or different rules depending on one's race or ethnicity or religion. Our job is to pursue justice without fear or favor."
Fox's Brooks Singman. Florida Senator Rick Scott's joined by 46 other Republicans asking to reinstate enforcement of the Senate dress code.
They say loosening the rules disrespects the institution. Scott tweeting, "The Senate floor is a special place. It's not hard to show it some respect and dress like a grown-up." The Senate dress code previously required coats and ties for men and business attire for women.
Fox's Chris DeMeo. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31, News Radio 92.3. It is 74 degrees right now. Looks like a beautiful morning out there. The investigation continuing today after a shooting last night at Workman Middle School. It happened during a basketball game as that game was happening inside. Pensacola police say a victim was shot outside of the school, possibly multiple times. That person is expected to survive. The school was briefly locked down, however, that lockdown was later lifted. Parents were told to pick their kids up nearby at the Washington High School. Investigators still working to identify a suspect in that case. Another shooting last night in Cantonment. A man was taken to the hospital after reportedly being shot in the thigh. That reportedly happened in the 2200 block of Old Chemstrand Road at about 6:30 last night. Deputies do say one possible suspect was interviewed but later released. And currently, no suspects have been named in the case. The legal battle over the Escambia County School District's removal of books from school libraries continues. This week, attorneys for the plaintiffs filed a 51-page document disputing the school board's arguments that the case should be dismissed. Five authors, the publishing company Penguin Random House, and seven parents originally filed that lawsuit. In a motion filed last month, the district argues that the board's decision has not prohibited the author's ability to write, market, or sell books. Meanwhile, the plaintiff's attorneys argue that the district's removals disproportionately targeted books by or about people of color and or LGBTQ people. After a slew of public outcry and a very long 8-hour meeting this week, Santa Rosa County leaders have opted to do away with the controversial provision in the new land development code. For many weeks now, residents have been addressing commissioners to speak against the alternative subdivision provision that was put in place in 2021 that allows developers to build several homes in small rural areas.
I'm going to be a nay vote on it. And so with that, I'm going to respect the four of y'all, and I'm not going to make any more comments or conversation on alternative subdivision because I'm going to vote against that provision.
Commissioner Sam Parker there. He was originally supportive of the provision, but says the developments he's seen have not reflected the original vision and spirit of that provision as it was intended. State Representative Michelle Salzman now is not planning to put term limits for county commissioners on the 2024 ballot. Salzman is planning to refile that resolution in the upcoming legislative session in Tallahassee. That'll begin in January. The Pensacola Ice Flyers are teaming up with our Blue Angels. They're announcing a new 3-year licensing agreement.
As part of the agreement, the Ice Flyers will host an annual Blue Angels night, with the first one taking place on Veterans Day, Saturday, November 11th. On that night, the team will be wearing special Blue Angels-themed uniforms, which replicate the look of the iconic blue flight suits. And yes, the Ice Flyers will offer replica jerseys and other apparel for purchase at that game. You can check them out now on our News Radio Facebook page, or just trust me, they're awesome. Single game tickets for this game and all others go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m.
And I'm predicting that that will probably be a pretty good seller. It is 8:35 at News Radio. Right. Let's get a look at our traffic.
Taking a look around, there's a few accidents to watch out for, but just a couple of areas of roadblock. 29 and 9.5 mile road. Now, this was about an hour and a half ago. Southbound lane still blocked and very, very slow this morning. Slow on Pine Forest between the interstate and 9 mile this morning, but not showing an accident. 65th and Lillian showing an accident, a vehicle crash this morning, but not showing a roadblock there. And then we're still watching Spanish Trail and Creighton, where it is still open in that area. But watch for emergency crews at all of these places. And if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. Yeah. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Joseph Neubauer.
Nice, slightly cooler weather continues for today here on Wednesday and into Thursday and Friday. You may notice the mornings are maybe not quite as cool. We'll only see low temperatures in the upper 60s to lower 70s, but the high temperatures will still be relatively pleasant, only in the mid to upper 80s. You might run into a stray shower or two today and through portions of Thursday and Friday. Rain chances the next 3 days sit at 20%. That's your weather forecast for now. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer reporting here at WEAR News.
73 in Pensacola, 73 also in Gulf Breeze, and a little bit cooler, it's 69 in Milton.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Jacqueline Harris Preparatory Academy presents The Many Faces of Tina Turner on Friday, September 29th. Sue Strawn will host an evening of electrifying music, fun, and dancing by Dance Connection. Master storyteller Robin Richard will share the story of the most amazing recording artist ever, Tina Turner. This is a fundraiser event for Favor House, so join them for a fun evening. Tickets are $55 and can be purchased at eventbrite.com.
Your money now. This morning, the market is opening up. The Dow's up 103, 14 at 34, 6, 20, 87. S&P 500 up 12, 29 at 44, 56, 24. NASDAQ is up 24, 70 at 37.02, 24. Our 10-year bond rate down slightly at 4.33%. Gold prices down 30 cents at 1,953.40. Silver prices up slightly at 23.49, and crypto, Bitcoin down 98.52 at 27,074.17. Ethereum down 16.81 today. Of course, I'm not even going to look at Dogecoin because that's always down and I'm always losing money on it. 8:38 at News Radio 92.3. The auto workers' strike could cause a significant economic hit. That, according to VCU Associate Sociology Professor Victor Chen. Today marks the sixth day of the strike. Chen says it could lead to fewer cars available to buy and shoppers could see higher prices. It could even increase the costs of having your existing car repaired as fewer parts are available. A Baltimore Circuit Court judge has approved the foreclosure sale of actor Kevin Spacey's home that overlooks the Inner Harbor there, and court records show the actor's last monthly mortgage payment was due a year ago in June. And also, contract talks between the Writers Guild of America and Hollywood Studios scheduled to resume today. The two sides' last official meeting was August 22nd. It's 8:39. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah.
going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
So I swear today is not officially National Have a Heart Attack Day, but it is National Pepperoni Pizza Day, National Fried Rice Day, and also National String Cheese Day.
Oh, I'm in.
I know. The trifecta. Finally. Let's do it all. David asked this question earlier, and it's a perfectly appropriate question for a frivolous topic. 437-1620. What's the right way to eat the string cheese? That's it. What's the right way to eat the string cheese? I feel like if I explain this, then I'm insulting you, so I don't want to insult you. But there might be the occasional person who doesn't know what a string cheese is. And so if you, they come in typically individually wrapped in the little, you know, plastic wrap, okay? And you peel them open like a beef jerky that's really large and made out of cheese.
Like a cheese
hot dog. Not a beef jerky, a Slim Jim.
Right.
That's made out of cheese. And then the question is, what do you do once you open it? Do you peel and chew like, you know, big league chew? Or do you bite like a hot... I can't even... Who bites? Who?
I know. What's wrong with those people?
I feel like, you know, I'm trying to imagine what level of severity the cheese bite would be in a relationship. I mean, you obviously can't be married. Like, you... like, I'm trying to think, you know, how many things... How far into a marriage would I be where I would be like, I guess I'll just keep going? Because, like, first 3 years, I mean, that's divorce material for sure if somebody's a cheese biter. Don't you think? I mean, that's pretty bad.
I don't know what kind of monster would eat a string cheese like that. Except this one. I always eat it like a big raw hot dog. Who has
you
time for that crap? You know what? I'm not 5 years old, and neither are you, so I do not pull my string cheese.
Ugh.
But
you get none of the texture. You eat
you
it
get all
too
the
quickly.
Texture. Yeah.
The string cheese creates all these different, you know, irregularities and, you know,
that's
slightly
true. I feel
hard
like I'm
bits
in old Italy. I put on the Sopranos and it's like do.
I just
I call
really?
It mozzarella. No. Yeah, I eat it like a hot dog.
That shouldn't
surprise you.
No, I will say this.
That's what grosses you out about
me. Yeah, that's
going to
be the deal
stuff.
Breaker for us.
Oh, okay.
No, like, what I don't... I will say this. When it comes to the packaging, you know, in that individually wrapped container.
Yeah.
Okay, or I don't know what you call that, but, you know, a little piece of two plastics ply or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The wrapper incentivizes you to eat it savage style like a hot dog.
Yeah, it comes
Because it comes out a bit at a time instead of what you'd have to do is take it out and then peel it, right?
Sure, I take the whole thing out, though, and eat it like a hot dog. Have you seen
it? You have no excuse.
Excuse me. And that's the only difference between us is how we eat the string cheese, I guess, versus the divorces.
Yeah, right,
and, you know,
all
kids.
That, you know.
No. They used to have these things. I don't remember. It's like the sausage, the hot sausage that's like in a vinegar packet or whatever.
Okay, all right.
You know what
I'm
mean?
I'm sort of tracking you vaguely.
They look like hot dogs, and they were good when you were in like the 8th, 9th grade, but now...
Sure.
I don't know if it's me. I'm sure it is.
Can't afford
but
to eat it anymore. I don't
oh
mean by cost.
Oh, my God. I get so heartburn.
Yeah.
I die, but I used to eat them together like that.
The upper part of my body has to talk to the lower part of my body and listen. And it doesn't.
I'm saying,
it doesn't
dude,
often.
But try biting a string cheese. It's not the worst thing
Stop.
That can happen.
Just 8:43
wow, look at
here
these
on News Radio 92.3. All right, let's take some of these texts. You'll pull it and try to get as tiny of a string as you can. Right, it becomes a geometry game. That's exactly right. Or a tensile strength game. It's in the name, peeling strings. Yeah, it's not called chunk bite cheese candy. What else? 437-1620.
Wow.
Unwrapped and just eat it peeled in strings. Oh, I wonder, does anybody, because you peel and eat as you go, right? Nobody pre-peels it all into a pile of strings on the plate and then eats the strings after that.
I mean, some engineers do.
Oh, and you cut all your steak pieces first before you start eating any of them. Sure. Good idea.
You don't do that?
Well, that's a different day. That's a different day.
You got
Don't let's not go down another road today. Somebody here says, peel and eat one bite at a time. Well done, sir. Take a small bite just to expose the string ends and then... Oh, okay. Okay. No, fair enough. You might like need to bite off just a little bit on the end to expose the strings so you can peel them, but that's not by preference. That's by necessity. That's you're engaging in an act of physics at that point, not an act of choice. So that's fine. I appreciate that. Somebody here says, it depends on how hungry I am. Don't judge me. Still judging. 437-1620.
I'm not. You're okay, kid.
She's one of my best friends, by the way. The biters put their socks on. Sock, shoe.
Yes.
That's a deep cut insult is what that is. Man. That's a previous topic. If you're a biter, you should be buying, let's see, where'd it go? If you're a biter, you should be buying the cheese wheels. I wouldn't buy it if I couldn't pull the strings. People who bite strings should have to register with the sheriff. Sorry, kid.
I should.
This should be an interview question when you're going to hire for a big job. You'll learn
a lot
about
somebody. Oh, I
would lie? Yeah. that's the thing. You know you're supposed to lie to that question. You know what's right. Mix between peel and bite. If it doesn't peel right for me, I just eat it. Team Candy, I'm a cheese biter.
Yes.
You guys go. Excuse me, I'm with Candy on this one. I'm not 5 years old. When I'm experiencing severe hunger pains, I delicately pull each string and savor it before peeling the next one. However, I am a barbarian monster when I'm under the influence of starvation.
There you go.
We
have a cheese club.
That's right. I love it. Weren't those little sausage thingies called firecrackers? Does that sound right to you?
Yes. Oh, there you go. Firecrackers. Yes.
Oh, now here's somebody who's changed the game a little bit. Breaded and fried, right? Because when you get the mozzarella sticks, well, you can't peel that anymore. You have to bite that. I mean, that's obvious.
Oh, that's a great. I never put that together. That's exactly what they are. Yeah. Nice.
437-1620. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I'm thinking about cheese, though. So how am I going to do this? 29 and 9
how
and a half
are
mile.
You? One
very.
To 10.
Yeah, 10. Yeah, 10, 20. Yeah. 29 and 9.5 miles. Still showing that accident. Still blocking things southbound. Use caution there and wherever you are. If you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620. This brought to you by Anderson Subaru. They need your car and they will pay more than ever before. That's Anderson Subaru. Your adventure starts here. Again, traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Got a lot of texts. On my phone, too, people are texting me. Somebody says 437-1620. The majority biter. That's not my phone. I'm just telling you if you want to text into the station. Majority biter. If I have the time and I'm bored, I might pull it. Normally, I don't even eat string cheese. I prefer sharp cheddars. Oh, well, very nice. Somebody here says, I partially unwrap to be able to hold with the plastic still and then take bites. I used to peel it, but then I had kids. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. All right. Also, I feel like this is not really relevant, but I just want to play this sound clip again.
Film me. I'm Instagram famous, you bum.
Film me. I'm Instagram famous. She does know. I know someone that unwraps, then folds it once over and puts the whole thing in there. Ah!
Okay, what a monster.
That's Colton Wright texting me that. I can't even.
I'm friends with Colton.
You've ruined this
whole
conversation now. Now that's all I can see in my mind's eye. All right, fine. I will say this. One thing that I used to eat mozzarella, like just take chunks of it and I put it in the microwave and melt it and then eat it. And I don't have any idea why, but with a regular knife, like a table knife, not a sharp knife, just eat it melted.
That's great. Like, I get that.
With a spoon,
the
but I didn't. It was with a knife for reasons I don't
you're
understand.
You're supposed to let cheese sit out and get warm. So.
And if I have good cheese, like blue cheese, which I get this, my cousin buys me every year this from Rogue Creamery in Oregon, the best blue cheese in the world, like award-winning cheese. And I eat that a shaving at a time, like because you maximize the flavor.
Right.
Oh, it's so good.
That's
That'd
great.
Be a waste to eat it a chunk at a time. Last one here. Somebody definitely pulled the cheese apart. We are civilized after all. Very good. There. I love you people. 8:48 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Speaking of string cheese, Frontier Motors has...
They're not monsters.
They're not monsters. Yeah, there you go. That should be the new ad line.
Yeah,
Frontier Motors.
That'll get on the matches.
They're not monsters.
There you go.
I love it. So, yeah, they sell great quality used cars. It has nothing to do with string cheese. It's a terrible segue, but there it is. If you're looking for a good quality, almost new car, a car that's new to you, but it's still only had one other owner probably before you, 1, 2, 3 years old maybe, low miles, great condition, cars that come back from leases or auctions, or, by the way, people sell them cars. Like, you might be the kind of person that wants to buy a new car every year. Buy a new car, sell it to them, buy a new car. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. In any case, the beneficiary of this is you because you get great quality, almost new cars at fantastic prices with outstanding service. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Join Autism Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9. Autism Pensacola Director Mary McClellan and a guest will be here to tell us all about the Steps for Autism event coming up this weekend. Steps for Autism will be on Saturday, September 23rd. At the Pensacola State College Track. Autism Pensacola is the leading resource center and community connector for autism support
art, advocacy, and education. That's today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota BX Series, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit the friendly folks at Coastal Machinery, now with 40 years in the business. Locations in Pensacola and Crestview.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
This Friday at 10:30, join the Pensacola Humane Society on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Listen this Friday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
That bass player's a babe. She makes me feel kind of funny. Like when we used to climb the rope in gym class.
I think that's going to be part of our conversation of what we come back out with. And I think the general structure of what we're going to look at moving forward, and this isn't something that's in an ordinance. This is just going to be the new administrative policy as it pertains to LTUs for parking, is we're going to say, here's what we believe the market rate of these spaces are. And they'll probably be tiered, right? I mean, the spaces at 13th and Gregory are different than the spaces at Palo Fox and Jefferson in terms of their value and what in the revenue they could create and things like that.
We're having this conversation in Pensacola. It's Mayor D.C. Reeves at his press conference yesterday talking about, how to deal with, like, when somebody wants to build a new hotel downtown and they don't want to build parking or they don't have land for parking or whatever, well, how are you going to accommodate that? What do you do? And, you know, these license to use and public right-of-way being used for, you know, on-street parking and things like that. And, you know, what is the cost related to that? And, of course, a lot of the things that we have in place right now are holdovers from a day when, you know, you could go down and not meet a person on Palo Fox because there was nothing there. And so we haven't really updated a lot of our pricing policies and ordinances and requirements. And, you know, so look, he says we're going to change some of this stuff and there should be wiggle room for negotiation, but let's wiggle in the direction of what's good for the city.
So there'll probably be some kind of tiered system that says, hey, future developer, this is what we believe the value of these spaces are. Now, if you do certain things, if you preserve a historic building, if you for the public good, if you create public access, then there, of course, there'll be some subjectivity that if we think from an economic development standpoint that we should lower that number for some reason, then we would entertain that. And I think that's the right thing to do to make sure that it's something, you know, that we can help incentivize good things happening in the city.
For sure. And also, you know, the price is going to change and it will go up a lot.
But right now we come from the opposite posture, which is we charge $1,000 a year for 21 spaces and then we have to explain why we want to charge more. And the reality is, it's clear why we want to charge more, because that's not the going rate for parking, maybe in 1985, but not in 2023. So that's why we're going to overhaul that. And I think not just the dollar amount of what we're going to propose to folks, but some of the other things that come with that we're going to probably discuss as part of this as well.
How much, we might not be at this place yet. I'm just thinking, I grew up in Chicago. Okay. And I mean, lived in Detroit, but really kind of grew up in Chicago. I wonder how much people would pay to buy just a parking space downtown.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, because New York City, you have to buy your parking spaces.
Right.
You know?
I wonder how many New York City, I wonder how many people would be willing to shell out, I don't know, $500 to get their own parking space on street parking. Like, you know, on Main Street.
How are you going to enforce that, though? They can't enforce it at apartments where you have your own parking space.
You want to go in on a parking space on Main Street? Parking for Andrew or Candy only?
And see how that goes. Yeah, where can we put it in front of?
And me, I'm coming from the guy who never pays for parking, okay? So, of course, I'm not
I will park
miles
and miles away.
I will.
The only time I walk.
I don't mind walking. I don't mind if it's raining. I don't mind if it's a hurricane. I am not paying for parking. It's just not going to happen. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And this is brought to you by Gulf Breeze Natural Gas. Don't get caught off the grid if a hurricane hits. Gulf Breeze Natural Gas, serving Gulf Breeze and Pensacola Beach. Accident on 29 and 9.5 miles. Still slowing things down. Southbound on 29. If you have traffic tips, you can text them in, certainly, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. This is this is kind of a big deal. It was new to me, okay, so I figured this is kind of the thing that not everybody has heard about, but apparently there's a big problem with rural hospitals getting rid of their delivery units, meaning that pregnant women in rural areas that might previously have been able to go to, you know, the rural hospital to do their delivery, now can't. Fewer than half of rural hospitals now have maternity units. So people are trying to figure out, how do you solve this problem? Like, one solution is like freestanding midwife birth centers, but those still rely on nearby hospitals when complications arrive, obviously. The closures of these the maternity wards in these rural hospitals has worsened what they call maternity care deserts. That's the kind of the fashionable phrase now, but that's one where it makes sense. Like, if you're in an area where it's just no good maternity care for you, counties with no hospitals or birth centers that offer obstetric care or no OB providers, more than 2 million childbearing age women live in what they define as a maternity care desert, the majority of which are obviously rural. Doctors and researchers say that having fewer hospital maternity units means babies are less safe. Obviously, rural residents, according to a study, have about 9% greater probability of facing life-threatening complications or death from pregnancy and birth compared to those in urban areas, and having less access to care is one of those key issues. Staffing, Medicaid reimbursement, financial distress, all of the things that are, you know, plaguing hospitals with just the kind of operational inabilities are behind this. So, yeah, and I remember when we had our first son, our doctor was great, Dr. Monahan. She was awesome. And she left the practice the next year because her malpractice insurance doubled, even though she never had complaints. She never had problems. And we even said to her at the time, I said, well, can you go without it? And we'll just sign a waiver that we won't sue you. I mean, like, she was that good. Like, I don't need to be able to sue you for malpractice. I trust you as the doctor. She said, I can't operate that way. But no, seriously, I went from, I think it was $40,000 a year to $80,000 a year just for malpractice insurance. For an OB.
Oh, my goodness.
That she pays.
Oh, my goodness.
To be covered. Yeah, it was ridiculous. And this is in Madison County in Illinois, one of the most litigious counties in the country, where people go to file their class action lawsuits and stuff. But still, it's this, you know, you think about the impact on, like, home insurance and car insurance of over litigation, but think about the impact on the practice of medicine, especially something as just ridiculously expensive as, you know, maternity care. And, you know, then you have the other compound problems of things like health insurance policies don't always cover maternity care. You may have to buy a rider for that. The deductible may be separate, you know, and just all kinds of stuff. Anyway, 8:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Time for
Friday can't come soon enough, future news.
Well done.
Thank you.
Okay. Will the Baptist Hospital changeover on Saturday go relatively smoothly?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think
it will.
Yeah. Are we going to get all these trees planted in the ground with the $700,000 of tree planting funds that the mayor was talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty optimistic about that, frankly. Have we turned a corner in Milton after at least a couple of people took a much more reasonable tone and kind of changed their ways, admitted they were wrong about some things in the last city council meeting? Do I have to give up playing the music?
Oh, please don't.
I only play it when there's drama.
And otherwise, we appreciate everything y'all do.
I think I'm no, because I don't want to be Charlie Brown with this football. I just don't. Listen up.